Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Tonight, I want to talk to you guys about a few different topics here: your gifts, calling, and character. Pretty straightforward topics here, but I found in my life that I've been gifted in many different areas, as all of you have, and we use those gifts at different times. And regardless of what you've used before or what you've never used for somebody else, it could come up. God can use it. In Romans 11:29, it says, "The gifts of God and his call never can be withdrawn. They're irrevocable. He's given them to you." And I want to talk about these tonight. Gifts, talents, your mind, your intellect, your work ethic. There are some people who are gifted with a work ethic. There are others who are not gifted with a work ethic. Spiritual gifts, musical ability, creativity. I look at gifts in three different categories here. The first one is probably the easiest category and one we're not going to really talk about at all, and that'd be presence. How many like presence? How many of you are already, some of you young people, you've already had people ask you want for Christmas? I have relatives asking what my children want for Christmas, and I'm like, it's not the, there's got to be some kind of rule as to when you can start asking that. It's not even November 1st yet. I know we're getting close, but come on. We're not going to be talking about presents tonight. Second category is natural gifts. Things that you do innately. Something that God's given you the ability to. A characteristic, personality, a capacity that you have. Some of you in here are really gifted at singing. We got to hear some tonight. There's some up here that can sing that don't sing. There are some out there that can sing but aren't up here. Some of you in this room are really gifted at singing. And then there are some who really think that they're gifted at singing. And for that category, that gifting is for you in the shower. Praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise, right? There are some who are naturally gifted actors. They're just really good. They can express it really well. It's funny to watch those personalities, because how many know somebody who's just, they're a natural actor? That you give them a part to do, a voice to do, something to do, and they got it like that. Really enjoyable. Some of you in this room are really tall. And some of you are really short. Some of you are medium. All of those can be a gift, honestly. I used to wish that I could be the tallest person. I wanted it more than anything. And then watching my grandpa, who's quite a bit, who's 4 or 5 inches taller than me at an older age, I'm like, okay, medium's okay. And then sometimes I wish I was a little bit shorter, because there's some places that I could get to a little bit easier if I wasn't quite so tall. There are giftings. There are things that you can do. Seems really simplistic, but some are naturally beautiful. Some are not. It's true. There are some who are really gifted speakers. There are some who are really gifted at fixing things. There are some who are really good at reading. Really good at reading. Have lots of voice inflection. Make you feel it. Good storytellers. You know, anybody know a good storyteller? Man. Probably the storytellers, it was hard not to raise your hand to reference yourself. Like, I know a good storyteller. Let me tell you a story about a guy I know. Oh. Some are very gifted at writing. Some have amazing reflexes and flexibility. Some are athletic. Some are strong in their mind. They're just quick. Some are so creative, you don't know how they come up with what they came up with, and it's just, it's a gifting. We see these in the Bible over and over again. I don't know if you've noticed it when you've read through some of your favorite characters. It says specifically that David was handsome. Like, we needed to know that. You know, that Saul was head and shoulders above the rest. I always found it interesting. We've been doing the Old Testament with LA. I always found it interesting that Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. But when they went to inaugurate him as king, he went off and hid in a corner somewhere. Like you could hide anywhere when you're already like Chapman towering over everybody else. Or Luke, like you're going to go hide in a corner. It's a funny picture in my mind. Solomon was gifted with wisdom. Daniel, you remember Daniel? Said he showed intelligence in every branch of wisdom. And then you had guys that could work with their hands. We don't talk about them a whole lot, but there was this guy named Hiram, probably not saying that right, and he was able to work with bronze really well. Now, I don't know that that helps us today as much, but there are metalworkers today that are very gifted at doing it. I've tried welding. It's you need some gifting there. You can mess things up pretty quickly. It's happened. And then the third category here, spiritual gifts. And we spent quite a bit of time, a whole series on spiritual giftings. Pastor did a great job on that. And if you missed out on that series on the different spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, you need to go back and listen to that because it was really, really great. But all of these gifts have a source, and that source is the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it states very clearly, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Question becomes, if we're all gifted, and you could think around, maybe even look around at the people around you, what different ones' gifts are in here? You know some of these people. What are we to do with these gifts when everybody has a different one? We're to grow them. We're to grow them. If you don't use it, you lose it. It happens. Now, I know that there's a parable in the New Testament in Matthew about talents and growing what you're given, and I know it has absolutely nothing to do with a talent. It's a weight of money there. But there's a very clear message of stewardship, and with what you've been given with, gifted in, we're to grow what God's given us. We're to take and use it as often as possible, to try and analyze and see how we could do it better, to look for opportunities to use it, and not to hide it. God told man to be a steward over and subdue over the earth in Genesis. We've got to be a good stewards over these gifts and abilities that we've been given. If we never do anything with what we're gifted with, you are not being the blessing that you're meant to be with the gifts that you have. But here's the thing about gifts. When you don't use them, they don't look quite as good later on in life. I was really proud of my son when he was 2 and he was drawing something that almost kind of looked like a dog. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Real young kids with crayons, and you look and you've got this scribbly something and they tell you what it is and you're like, I can almost see that. If my son is still drawing that way when he's 14, that's not a good thing. There are some of you in here who are gifted at drawing. There are some of you in here who are really funny, who have a funny personality. But if you're still telling the same jokes, if you're still drawing the same way that you were 10 years ago, then you're not using it the way you need to. Gifts provide something for you. Opportunity. Gifts provide opportunity. Turn to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 16. Proverbs 18, 16 says, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." Lots of us have heard that verse. But that's not talking about somebody else. That's talking about you specifically. You have giftings that will make room for you where you're at. And I believe that's true of all three of the types of gifts. You can show up with a present. You can show up with a natural talent. You can show up with a spiritual gifting. And all three can make room for you in different ways. If you have a talent for being funny, use it. People love being entertained. They do. They love enjoying somebody else or something else. We have to use those gifts. I really appreciated this past Super Bowl, the Eagles and the Patriots getting together and using their ability before in youth group, before the Super Bowl, they had put together a salvation / testimonial message, select players from there to share the gospel. The only reason that they were able to do that and put that in hundreds of churches all across the nation is because of their gifting to play football. There's nothing spiritual about playing football. You can learn lessons from it, and there are life goals and there are things that it can do for you, but there's nothing spiritual about it. But that gift made room for them to, I don't know how many countless people got saved on Super Bowl Sunday because these men used their gifting to share their message. Well, they're nationally known. That's entirely different. It's not. You have a gifting, and you may not have the same size audience that they do, but you're going to reach people that they can't. Our gifts create an avenue for God to work through. We do this all the time. Summer camps and movies, through TV, through books, through music, through church events, through kids' church down there. If you have a particular characteristic, use it for the Lord. If you're good with people, if you're good in conversation, use it for the Lord. If you're naturally beautiful, use it for the Lord. There are things that God has gifted different people with, and for no other reason than the fact that you are a tall person, people will look at you for information and answers. It doesn't make any sense at all. But it's true. It will provide you an opportunity to speak in other people's lives for that one reason alone. If you're super fast, if you're strong, if you're agile, people spend hours of time watching people do ridiculous things on YouTube. Yes, anybody seen stuff like that before on YouTube? Ridiculous things. If we were doing that and bringing the Lord into it, it could be something entirely different than what it is. Use your giftings to draw people in. If you're good at telling stories, and every time you walk into the room, you've got 5 or 6 lined up because you love telling stories, use it for the Lord. Use it for the Lord. The point is that a gift will provide an opportunity for the Lord to move in your life. Here's what a gift does not do for you. A gift does not guarantee that you're going to take advantage of that opportunity. There are a lot of people in the world who are full of potential and yet don't do anything of significance. And it's sad to watch. There are people who have more talent than I do in a lot of areas that are not using it for the Lord or making any significant difference. Whether it's because they've been hurt, or they failed in the past, or they got depressed, or it didn't work with this one person, or even if they're prideful and they drive people away, it doesn't matter. A gift does not guarantee success. Each one of you have been gifted, and all of us have failed in one area or another. Nobody's lived a perfect life. Nobody's had success every time they opened up their mouth to leave a Bible study or to try and lead a worship song or to try and get some people together to go do something somewhere, and I failed. Okay? That doesn't mean it's over. That doesn't mean that you can't grow in that. Don't quit just because your opportunity didn't work itself out. There are so many stories we could look at in the Bible of people who are very gifted that did not do as much as they could have. And we don't have time to look at it all, but if you wanted to read about Balaam in Numbers 22 or Samson in Judges 16, a lot of gift. Wrong application. Being gifted at something does not necessarily tell you who, where, or when to make something happen. I really like funny people. I like telling the quick joke. I like having the little ad lib that's in there. Timing is so tough, though. Everybody, I have been the guy many times that said the joke at the exact wrong time. That would have been really funny if you'd said that a minute or two earlier. You know what I'm talking about? That, like, it comes up and, man, I'm just staring at you because that wasn't right, but it could have been. But you did not get, we need to work some more on that. Or it's always a joke. Or you always have a story. Every time. You've never heard anybody else's story in the last month, but you've got a story every single time. Our gifts don't tell us when and how. It's the Lord that has to lead us in when and how and where. To figure out those questions, you have to have a calling. You have to have a calling. And God has called each and every one of us. Luke 5:32, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Galatians 5:8, God is the one who called you to freedom. Now, calling will provide direction and motivation. Now I know when and how to use my gifts. In what avenue? Ephesians 4:1 says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. We have to seek God and hear his calling. Lots of times he'll bring to our attention a need or an area that lacks. Here's what a calling will do for you. It'll make decisions for you. Your calling will make decisions for you. No, I'm not going to go there because that's not lining up with my calling. Well, I need to go there because that does line up with my calling. No, I don't need to say anything right now because this is not what I'm called to do right here. I need to listen right now. Your calling will make decisions in your life. Your calling will get you good opportunities to grow. It'll push you outside of your comfort zone. There's a calling on my life, and it has drug me all the way out of my comfort zone so many times it's not even fun. I try and reset up a new one each time, and it just, I quit building fences around things because it gets tiring trying to say, well, I'm just, you know, God, I'll work with you, and I'll do what you want me to do as long as it's, you know, within this boundary. I feel comfortable here, okay? And he's like, okay, let's try this. I don't think you were listening, God. That's not in here. That's over there. Your calling will pull you outside of your comfort zone, and it'll be a good thing. When you get comfortable is when you start to rely on yourself and not the Lord. It'll cause you to rely on him and his gifts. Here's what a calling doesn't provide. A calling is a path. It's not the actual walking of the path. We have to walk out our calling. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1:3 familiar verse or set of verses. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. I love that verse. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. We have everything we need. In view of everything that he's done for us, make every effort to respond to his promises. And then he goes into it and doesn't really let up here. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to work hard to prove your calling. You have to use your gifts on a regular basis. You have to make every effort. And here's the thing, for you young people in here, your calling does not start in 10 years. It doesn't. Your calling starts now. It's already started. For you older people in here, your calling was not 10 years ago. It's not. It's now. There are different phases of calling. There's a time where you have to prepare yourself. For those of you that are younger, school feels like an unending, relentless, feels like pointless work that I'm never, when am I going to use this? Okay, you are in preparation mode. And what you learn is going to be used in your future. How much do you want God to use you? And after you're done preparing, then there's the trial mode where you're walking out and trying to figure out how to walk out that calling, where people are asking you to do things that are just, they seem impossible. They're outside of your comfort zone. And then there's that phase where it feels like you're fulfilling your calling, where you are just, you have made it there. This is it, isn't it? I'm doing it. And then you realize that it starts over again in a different area. Because there's a new area. I got this parenting thing down. Kids are out, they're serving the Lord. Man, I fulfilled it. Oh wait, now they're going to have kids. Oh, they need some help having kids. Okay. There is a time for all three of those phases. How do you know if you're going to succeed in your calling? Are you still serving the Lord? You're going to succeed. As long as you're submitted to Him. The Bible is very clear that the only sure thing in life is God. He's the one we put our hope and our trust in. Because your calling will feel like you're failing it in the middle of failing. Maybe I'm not called. Just as an example, if I'm up here tonight and I feel like I'm failing delivering this message, I could start questioning, man, I guess I'm really not supposed to be doing this. It didn't go very well. We can't let ourselves get kicked down or knocked out or depressed about what we're going through, because it's probably just the trial phase. You're probably just learning how to do things better while juggling everything else at the same time. I know everybody's got a million things to do every single day. And if we took the time to hear each one of your stories in here, we would all think, man, that's tough. I don't know how they're dealing. Everybody is walking through their own stuff. But don't let that decide whether or not you're going to submit to the Lord and continue in your calling. It requires faith. To please the Lord, it always is going to require faith. There's a transformation that has been taking place in your life and will have to continue to take place in your life. God transforms our character. He transforms our character. Character is shaped over time. In Romans 5, verse 4, it says, endurance develops strength of character. It's one thing to be able to preach one good sermon, sing one good song, put on one good event. Endurance is something different. I had one good day at work. Okay, let's go for two. Endurance is something that will develop character over time. And we are seeing all over our nation thousands and thousands of people, pastors, public figures, fathers, mothers, who have not developed the endurance, who don't have the character to hold the weight of those gifts and that calling. The formula we have to follow every day is put our faith in the Lord and his promises. Stand in peace in him. Put our hope in him. Work and live loving God with everything that we do. And if we can follow that formula, we'll endure the trials. Gifts have a weight to them. They're a load to bear. If you are really good as a roofer, people are going to want you to roof their house. And the more you roof, if you're doing it with everything that's in you, the more the people that are going to want you to roof their houses. It's a weight to carry. If you are a great mom, it's going to become known that you're a great mom, and you're going to have a lot of other moms asking you how to become a better mom. And you're going to feel like, oh, am I a better mom? How? It's all going to build together. Every gift comes with a weight that you have to carry with it. And we have to make sure that our character can control and master those gifts. Let's take a very easy example. Our eyes. Our eyes are an amazing gift from the Lord. How many men and women, though, don't have the character to control what they see every day? They look at a situation and they see defeat. They cannot see anything else except what they can't do. They're not controlling their eyes. They look at other people and they see bitterness, they see jealousy. They see what somebody else is good at and they're not. We have to control our eyes. They look at the world around them and they see everything they love being destroyed. They look at media on their phone and they destroy their marriage life. They destroy their future marriage. Our eyes are an amazing gift, but if we don't have the character to restrain and control them, we're going to stumble in our calling. You can look at any example that you want to. The list that I started out with of what everybody's good at. There have been hundreds of singers that were extremely, exceptionally talented, and when they started out, they were singing for the Lord. But their character didn't carry them through their calling. And you could pick that in anything. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's why we're training. That's why we're preparing. The truth is that our character has to become God's character, Christ's character. He's the only one who can bring about the change we need. We're his masterpiece. I want to encourage you tonight, and wherever you're at, whatever phase of life you feel like you're in, there are gifts that you are not using, and there are gifts that you are using, and all of them you need to be ready to serve the Lord with. He's not done. It's not over. There's more for you to do. If you're young, don't think that, well, I'm not done with school yet, so I can't do anything worthwhile. No. You can help anybody that's younger than you. You can help anybody that's the same age as you. You can set a good example for anybody that's older than you. Wherever you are, build the gifts that you've been given. This week, don't forget that your gift will make room for you, but does it line up with your calling? When you've developed a bunch of gifts over your life, which one do you need to be doing right now? Let the Lord lead you in that. And all of us working on our character. Our character is going to have to continue to be strengthened. When I think about strength training, I have a hard time. I'm not a very strong guy. I don't look strong at all. And I've already said multiple times that I'm more of a nerd than anything else. So when I think about the time and effort it takes to put in, there's been boys going to school every early morning doing weightlifting. And in my mind, I think, yeah, that's good for them. How many parents are right there with me? In my mind, I kind of justify things because I've seen pictures of bodybuilders in their 60s after they've been long done with bodybuilding on the beach, and those amazing muscles that they had in their chest are not so amazing. They're more hanging than doing anything else. But do you know why? They stopped working them out. We can't let, yeah, I'm gifted. Yeah, I got a calling. Yeah, I got, if you don't keep working things, you're going to look like a flabby old bodybuilder who doesn't do what they're supposed to be doing anymore. You can't let your life look like that. I can't let my life look like that. I can't let that be a justification for me not doing something with what God has given me. I want to encourage you guys, grow what you've been given. Grow what you've been given. You still have a calling. It is not long done. It is not yet. It is now. I feel like I'm working on everything all the time. Yeah, we all do. You know who probably does more? The Lord. Working on all of us all the time. We're in this together. Let's encourage each other in our gifts. Let's encourage it. Let's provide opportunities for others to work in their gifts. Let's look for and encourage what God is doing in the lives of the people around you. For parents in here, look for and try and help your kids find what they're gifted at, what they're talented at. I know that parenting can feel like it's never going to stop, but it changes. And the amount of influence that you have and the amount of say that you get to have in their lives changes. Help direct and guide them, even when you're tired, even when you're frustrated. I just tell myself this all the time. They're not tired. I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. They're not tired. I don't think that they stopped roller skating and rollerblading when they got home from school today until it was time to eat. They were just back and forth. What are you doing? Doing my chores? Okay. Cleaning up my room while skating around. My son walks through the house spinning. Jumping. My daughter skips everywhere. They're not tired. I can't be either. I need the Lord. My calling hasn't ended. Hopefully I got the giftings to kind of explain as much as I can, or if I don't, I'm going to find somebody who knows, get them connected. You guys are doing a great job. I've seen the fruit in the lives of this church, and it's good fruit. It's very good fruit. I want to encourage you tonight. We have to continue to work on all three of these areas. It is a lifelong pursuit. It is not something that stops at some point. Well, I reached level 20 and it doesn't get any higher than that. Made it. It doesn't work that way. There's not a certain age where you get to quit. We're serving the Lord and we're doing it together. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.